Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. NBA. Golden State Warriors are undefeated no more. They lost Saturday night to the Jason Kidd-led Milwaukee Bucks, 108-95, bringing their record on the season to 24-1. Guess who set out in that game? That would be one Mr. Klay Thompson, who was dealing with a sprained ankle from the previous game against the Indiana Pacers, of which he scored 39 points and sprained his ankle late.
Well, that's inaccurate. He didn't sit out that game. He sat out the Boston game. He scored like 12 that game. He played.
You are correct. I forgot about the Boston game in between there.
That's
my fault.
Yeah, he played.
Yeah, scored 12. Sure did.
Yeah, he played.
My reason for bringing him up is because you, ma'am, have been called out by some of our viewers for calling Mr. Thompson fool's gold in a previous episode.
Yeah, the fool's gold got y'all 12 points tonight that y'all lost. And let's be clear. Now, hold on, put my mic. I'm trying my mic. I'm working on my mic, so make sure everybody can hear what I'm saying.
Yeah, they hear you working on it.
All right, look. Let's be clear. I am not saying that Klay Thompson cannot play. I am saying he's fool's gold because what? When the Lakers was chasing him, it was the Splash Brothers. As you can see, nobody says anything about Splash Brothers anymore. It's all Curry all the time. And he is not a franchise player like you might have been led to believe. If you put anybody, you can put Anderson out of New Orleans in that spot. You put anybody that can shoot, you can grab, what's the boy name in Atlanta? I almost said his name, and then it just ran
Kyle
out of my
Korver.
Mind. The shooter, what's his name?
Kyle Korver.
Korver, you can put Korver in that spot. Anybody that can shoot, you can put in that spot, and they're going to have the same success as Mr. Thompson. Now, again, I'm not saying that the boy can't play.
Right.
Not a franchise player.
Well, to your point, as far as him, you know, kind of falling from relevance a few games here and there at times, Indiana, of which he scored 39 points the other night, the Indiana Pacers, the last three times he has faced them, he scored 39, 40, and 39. He doesn't do that against every other team in the league. Now, if he played them 82 games a year, he might be a Hall of Famer.
Again, I'm not in no shape, form, or fashion saying the boy cannot play.
Right.
Shoot. But he ain't no franchise. He ain't even the second best player on his team. Green, he might not even be the third best. We probably can put Iguodala as being a third best or important player.
The finals MVP, Andre Iguodala.
What is love time, love life? Just take a chill pill. Go sit down somewhere.
Let's see, staying with the NBA, late last week they had a Bleacher Report article by lead NBA writer Josh Martin that focused on how the Lakers' current struggles can be traced back to have begun with the Chris Paul trade that was vetoed by the league in 2011. Here's some of the highlights from the article. It tells you about the trade that went down that would have sent Chris Paul to the Lakers, Pau Gasol to the Houston Rockets, Lamar Odom, Luis Scola, Kevin Martin, Goran Dragic, and a 2012 first-round pick to the then New Orleans Hornets, who are now the Pelicans. The trade came on the heels of a five-month NBA lockout that was intended to try and curb superstars from teaming up to make quote-unquote super teams. Trade was vetoed by the league, and Commissioner David Stern gave the quotations that are now famous in Lakerland for making you nauseous as being called for basketball reasons. To make things worse, Chris Paul's locker is now directly down the hall from where it could have been. The LA Clippers pulled off a trade for Paul in exchange for Eric Gordon, Al Farouq Aminu, Chris Kaman, and a draft pick that became Austin Rivers. While the Clippers have seen multiple 50-win seasons the past 3 or 4 years and have been on the cusp of playing for championships, the Lakers have dealt with a broken-down Steve Nash, a Dwight Howard and Kobe Bryant relationship that was a train wreck from the beginning, year after year of free agency snubs, and now just basically broken down Bryant, who just recently announced his impending retirement from the league.
Christ Jesus.
The article, the guy's not saying that, he just mentions that maybe with CP3 there, Dwight Howard is a different player. Maybe. They're supposedly best friends. Possibly could have even brought in Carmelo Anthony with them two there, because three of them are supposed to be like, they're supposed to have a Dwayne Wade, LeBron James type friendship. Just a bunch of hypotheticals. But he does bring up a good point that trade seemed to be the start of the downward spiral.
Well, yes. And so I'm still unhappy. It happens. I would be fine with it not happening if the NBA hadn't been running the New Orleans team at that time when that trade didn't happen.
Right.
And so I just was like, how is it that you, first of all, I don't even see how a conglomerate like the NBA can even own a team. Or they should have just had some arbitrary person or mediation or somebody to run everything business-wise and kept themselves out of this. Because that trade, besides, you know, not getting Chris Paul, that could be the beginning of demise, a downward spiral for Lamar Odom. Because he lost his mind pretty much after that when he knew that he was going to be part of that trade. But then the trade didn't happen. And then it just all started to fall apart.
Yeah, he wound up, you know, came back to L.A. not a happy person. And they wound up getting rid of him. He goes down to Dallas and plays awful. And, you know, as of recently, he's now battling, you know, for survival. Because of some other, you know, drug-related issues. It could
be in the all these picks that we got to give away to 2017 situation, because we would have never traded Nash. They probably still would have did that Dwight Howard thing.
Right.
But it's yeah and nay on what would have happened with that. Maybe Chris Paul would have been that peacemaker for that, but if Chris Paul don't necessarily or allegedly is not getting along necessarily with D'Angelo or whatever that poor name, the dunker on their team now, ain't nothing to say that he's gonna get along with
Blake Griffin. Yeah, DeAndre Jordan. I'm sorry, DeAndre Jordan.
Right. Yeah, DeAndre. If he ain't getting along with DeAndre, they pretty much the same player.
Right, both of them got a block.
And all they do is well is dunk.
Yeah, rebound, blocks, dunks, and miss a bunch of free throws. So,
whatever. The Lakers need to sell the team to Magic or somebody. I don't even, if it ain't Magic, somebody, because they stuck in the past and they still stuck on We LA, and people should just want to come here because We LA. People are past that. People can make money in Cleveland, they can make money in Milwaukee. If you can play, now anybody pretty much on commercials, and it don't matter what city you're in.
Yeah, the days of the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is not being happy with the Milwaukee Bucks are over. So
yeah, that's done.
I think that's going to bring us to our first break. When we come back, we'll get into the NCAA football talk. Yeah, a lot went on this weekend. Had the Heisman Trophy. A lot of non-games went on this weekend, Heisman Trophy Award, and Ole Miss defensive lineman Robert Kendiche decided to be Superman. So we'll get into all that on the other side.
Okay.
This has been the Mac and T Show. Thank you for listening.
What time is it? What time is it?
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. NCAA football. Let's see. Sunday afternoon, there was a report come out from the Atlanta Police Department that Ole Miss defensive lineman Robert Kendiche is in stable condition in an Atlanta hospital after a fall from a fourth floor hotel window. Traces of marijuana was supposedly found at the scene. Hotel window had been knocked out. There, as of right now, there has been no official word from anyone at Ole Miss, head coach Hugh Freeze, and all that. I'm sure they're trying to gather all the information before they make an announcement on the situation. Kendiche is projected to be a top 10 pick in the upcoming NFL draft. With this and among other incidents over the past 2 years, could wind up costing him some major money. But that's not even the biggest picture right now. Right now, we just worry for his safety. What all you heard that it wasn't necessarily a fall out the window?
Well, so first of all, he ain't falling no four floors. He'd probably be dead. Let's just make that clear. The ESPN report, and I think Clarion or somebody said it was one floor, about 15 feet. So he fell a good ways, but four floors, he would probably be not in stable condition.
Right.
Anywho, so yeah, what hotel have you ever been in that you can just, you can't even hold or open the window in the hotel?
Right.
So he had to break the window out, number one. Number two, as big as he is, even if he was falling, like, 6'3 to 6'5, how big? About 250, 275.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
You just didn't fall out no window. And who else was in this room? Why are we, was he just doing all this stuff by himself? I don't know what's going on. We may never know because the brother was in the hospital in ICU, and they don't kept that. I don't know why TMZ ain't been on that, and they ain't told us nothing about what happened with that.
Yeah, we still have not heard, you know, why he the brother Denzel was in ICU. No official word has come out as far as I know.
I ain't heard none either. So this we may never know the extent of it all, but the bottom line is the NFL is still gonna reward him regardless of this behavior, just like they do all these other cats that have all these background issues. And if you can play, we'll just overlook some of your character flaws.
Well, hey, if you can play, we'll pay.
Yeah, we'll overlook your character flaws and just hope for the best.
It's unfortunate of the timing. Me being an Ole Miss fan, we got our Sugar Bowl game coming up. He's one of our, you know, biggest attractions, and now all you're going to hear about during the game is this. They're going to replay this story over and over and over again. It's sad.
Maybe something else will come out and we'll know more. Kids, don't do drugs. I probably know children listening to this, but why? Just don't do it.
You and I have had conversations in the past where you being in the health profession, you've talked to kids and they've told you that they don't necessarily believe marijuana to be addictive.
Most of them say they don't think it's addictive. Oh, it can be mentally addictive. Okay, but if you're dependent on it or you're addicted to it, does it matter what name we call it if you can't stop? We got too many people out here that, not only athletes, but it's people that just smoke it all the time and they need it to get up. They have to smoke it to go to sleep. You got I mean, I know people that smoke it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've been told, in a way, that they smoke it every day. I don't doubt it.
Right.
I don't hear stories of people that carry, like, have urine and stuff with them, so that they, if they get a random drop, like, test or some kind of drug test, like, they prepare. You're doing the most.
Right.
Who is carrying around urine? Like, that's, you doing way too much. So, it's an issue. But athletes, I don't even know why you would smoke, because any smoke, whether it's cigarette smoke or marijuana, it's going to affect your lung capacity. So why would you even want to, like, you got to be in good shape. Your lungs cannot be struggling when you need them to be out here working extra hard.
Right.
Running up and down the field or doing whatever you do. And you hear these NBA players that do it too. Didn't Ron Artest say he used to drink or something before games? Or was it Dennis Rodman? Who was it?
I don't know, but if it was Ron Artest, I know what game he was really drunk.
I mean, it's some people that done came out and said they did this, that, and the other, and I was just like, come on, man, why?
Not to jump off topic too long, but do you remember where you were during the malice at the palace? First floor of the village.
We were sitting in the village wondering what just happened. Like, did you just see that? And I still say that's Ben Wallace's fault for acting a nut over stupid foul with a game that was a blowout.
Yeah.
He set that ball in motion. Ben Wallace would probably say, you crazy. But yeah, you really overreacted to that foul. He goes and lays on the little scores table. Then party number two decides to throw a drink, and then it all just went left.
Yes, it did, Lord. Well, switching back to NCAA football, on a little happier note, Heisman Trophy was awarded over the weekend, and Derrick Henry, running back out of Alabama, was the winner. Henry was the overwhelming vote-getter in every region of the country except for the West Coast, who predictably favored running back Christian McCaffrey out of Stanford. Henry is the second Alabama player to win the award ever, and the second non-quarterback to win the award in the last 15 years, with both of those first being the Alabama running back Mark Ingram, who won the award in 2009.
I just want to say, it's still amazing to me that all the success that Alabama have had, that they ain't got but two Heisman winners.
I said that back in 2009 when Mark Ingram won the award, and they were talking about he was the first Alabama player to win the award. I couldn't believe it.
What y'all been looking like? The team have been so balanced that it was just not one person that was leading them. I just find that hard to believe. Anywho.
Yeah, so Derrick Henry now gets ready to lead his team into the NCAA playoffs. In our next episode, we're going to give our predictions on the Final Four and the other New Year's Day Bowls. So that'll be fun. Look forward to next time. I think that's going to bring us to our next break. On the other side, we'll get into a little NFL talk and discuss the latest ESPN 30 for 30, the four fouls of Buffalo. We'll get into that. On the other side, this has been the Mac and T Show. Thank you for listening.
What time is it? What time is it?
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. ESPN 30 for 30, the latest episode being the four falls of Buffalo, focusing on the Buffalo Bills team of the 1990s that lost four straight Super Bowls. Before we get started, now, you are a huge sports fan, as am I. There are probably a lot of huge sports fans listening to this podcast. Right now, without looking it up, can you tell me the four teams? What? I'm going to give you a hint. The three teams that Buffalo lost their four Super Bowls to?
The 49ers. Who else beat them? Probably one of Dallas. And, who else might have won in the 90s? I don't know. I know the 49ers and Dallas. I don't know who the other one beat.
The 49ers is incorrect. It was the New York Giants, the Washington Redskins, and the Dallas Cowboys twice.
Dallas, okay. I know Dallas had got them once, but...
Isn't that hilarious that the three teams are all NFC East teams that were so, you know, so did so well back in those days, and now the NFC East is the worst division in NFL?
Well, last year was the other way around. This is a mess. And the Bills, it was kind of sad to see them just keep losing.
Well, let's see. Documentary focuses on the inside, you know, the inside stories that the casual fan may not have known about. The first fall comes, at the hands of the New York Giants, which was led by head coach Bill Parcells and defensive coordinator Bill Belichick. In the documentary, Belichick is interviewed about his defensive strategy, where the Bills had this up tempo, you know, hurry up passing offense with Jim Kelly, Andre Reed, running back Thurman Thomas. To offset that strategy, Belichick employed a defense where we had two down linemen, only two, just begging the Bills to run the ball, and you know, had a ton of linebackers and cornerbacks out there. It didn't stop Jim Kelly from his passing, and you know, it got him in a lot of trouble, honestly, and really kind of cost him the game. But the game ultimately come down to a Scott Norwood missed field goal that went wide right, and it's really how they open up the documentary. They don't show you the whole kick, they just show you part of it. And anyway, the kick goes wide right. He's basically the GOAT on the thing. The inside stories on this one. This game was going on in 1991 during the Gulf War, where security was very tight at the game. Whitney Houston famously sang her national anthem at this game.
Oh, Lord.
Supposedly, Bills partied way too hard all week long of Super Bowl week, and that could have led to some of their issues during the game. The second fall, and by the way, during the whole documentary, they got Bruce Smith and Thurman Thomas watching highlights on their couch. They got Scott Norwood being interviewed. They got Jim Kelly standing out, looking over the Niagara Falls. They did a very good job of putting this all together. The second fall came at the hands of the Washington Redskins. And the major issue going into this Super Bowl was how they began the game, two or three series without Thurman Thomas. Never really knew why. It was not ever explained at the time. But what happened, he couldn't find his helmet to start the game. So he missed could not find his helmet. And supposedly, I don't remember the name of the band that played pregame, but supposedly they had moved the helmet from where it originally was. I don't understand.
Helmet?
Yes. So, yeah, that was a story on that game. Third fall.
The third string quarterback, take your helmet and give it to him.
The third fall happened at the hands of the Dallas Cowboys dynasty, led by Jimmy Johnson, quarterback Troy Aikman, wide receiver Michael Irvin, and running back Emmitt Smith.
Okay.
I let you have that. I led you into it. Anyway, this game was the most lopsided of all the losses, being 52-17. Victory for the Cowboys. General manager Bill Polian was fired after this season, He eventually becomes a Hall of Famer as the GM of the Indianapolis Colts that won the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning as quarterback. Let's see. The fourth fall was a rematch with the Cowboys, and the theme going into this year's Super Bowl was "We're Back," because basically they were getting a lot of flack in the media and with other teams in the league saying they didn't want the Bills to be back in the Super Bowl because basically it would just be another loss. So they played it up, you know, "We're back, sorry. Hey, if you want us to lose, you got to beat us. You know, if you don't want us there, beat us." Let's see, just some observations. Like I said, this was very well done documentary. Told all the inside stories that you know the casual fan may not have known. I do have a question. Years from now, will our generation, social media age, there won't be any inside stories to give 30 for 30s on, you know, 20, 30 years down the line, because social media tells you everything. I mean, we know everything that goes on.
I think it'll always be stories that we didn't know about, because, I mean, I know that when Florida won in 2008 or whatever, or 9, whatever it was, didn't nobody know all that stuff was going on behind the scenes with, you know, Hernandez and the cornerbacks and all that stuff that man wrote about in that article. And like that Ohio State win, when they won with their third string quarterback, and it's stuff that they probably gonna be able to write about for this season that we don't know about, as far as why did he make that decision, how was the team divided, like half people probably thought, well, he should be the quarterback, well, half probably thought, well, he won, led us to a championship, so he should be a quarterback. And while people have to say the right thing when they out, you know, we team, you know, I should be the quarterback. That's what I really think. Like, you know, like the guy really just came out and was like, he should have gave me the ball. There's some more of that happening.
Right.
So it's going to be these little stories that we didn't know about that's going to not leak. Like we said, we still don't know what happened to Denzel. Like, it's probably some little story why Ole Miss just ain't been able to get over the hump, because, yeah, we keep beating Alabama, but now, I mean, then the wheels seem to fall off. 7-0 last time, but then the wheels fell off. Yeah. Started off well, beat Alabama again on the road, then lose to Memphis, then go to Gainesville and get beat up. And then it's just like, what is going on? Like,
yeah, I mean, even last year in the Peach Bowl, got destroyed by TCU.
Yeah, and so
could be the exact same thing happened this year, because Oklahoma State's offense is something special.
And if they get blew up this time, I wasn't surprised at TCU, but just the way they didn't even look like they came to play against TCU, because TCU didn't look like as clean as they had played before.
I mean, I thought that it would be a struggle against the offense, but I didn't think it would be that much of a struggle. I mean, I can remember sitting there thinking, Lee, we are getting just drilled.
Yeah, so I think it is. It's always these little secrets and little stuff that's going around that they pretty much are able to keep in house. And so it's going to be some old 30 for 30 stuff that we didn't know about.
What was it? Just yesterday, somebody made a comment about how they've been able to keep something a secret. Something to do with the sports world. And I was sitting there thinking, yeah, you're right. That's been pretty good, pretty well kept secret. I can't remember what it was, but it's just amazing to me now, you know, with so much going on with social media that you're able to keep secrets like that from coming out.
I think that besides these secrets, what I would like for, and we've been saying this for years, and I guess we could try to do it, I want somebody to do "Where Are They Now?" Like, it's so many cats out there that we, like, when they, rest in peace, Rod, Hot Rod.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I didn't know Hot Rod was sick, but like his cats like him, you just didn't even know, you had forgot about. But he was a baller when he was playing, and you'd be like, "Oh yeah, where is he? And then you hear about him when they die or something." But it's a lot of guys, you just be like, "I don't know what happened."
Yeah, I mean, you and I talk about where are they now all the time with people, you know, but.
Like, where is Craig Hodges?
You know.
You ain't seen, I ain't never seen him sitting on no NBA bench. He got out of the league. And
there was a story about him not too long ago about basically how he was blackballed after his, something to do with some comments he made, or I can't remember, something to do with his faith, something to do with his beliefs. I can't remember exactly the story. I might have to look it up. We'll have to talk about it in another episode. But there was a story about him basically being blackballed. I think Scoop Jackson of the ESPN wrote it.
Uh-huh.
It was a pretty good little story. It's been a couple weeks since I read it. That's funny. It's funny that you brought him up.
Where's Mario Ellis?
That's another good question. Probably down there in Houston.
Do you remember kissing the fans off with the 3-point and all that? And he was the big thing in Houston. They won a championship. Nobody know where Mario Ellis is.
I want to say he was on the staff.
He might be on somebody's staff.
I want to say he was on Popovich's staff, maybe, at one time. I don't know if that's right, but I swear he was on somebody's coaching staff at one point.
But yeah. There's only so many coaches to go around. Like, I could keep just grabbing names out the air.
I know. just with the Rockets alone.
Yeah, we know what a jet is. Big Game Bob done won 7 championships and then just disappeared.
And got fat. Last time I saw him, he was heavy.
We might see them on a... All-Star game when they grab some old guy from some team to play or something. Air Blue Moon.
You know what I want to do? I would love for them to do a Where Are They Now with Trail Spree with.
Because he cannot feed his kids over $4 million. They probably somewhere homeless. Because if that was his situation.
Because he made those comments of not being able to feed his family off his contract.
$4 million. Y'all, I don't know. They probably somewhere hungry in a homeless shelter or something.
And he was immediately gone from existence. he didn't last after those comments. And yeah, I don't know what happened to him. But yeah, he probably somewhere with Sean Kemp and his family.
Like, have we seen? Stop.
I'm sorry.
Have we seen, Big Red Luke Longley. Was it Luke Longley that played with the Bulls?
Yeah, Luke Longley.
Well, have we seen him? Or did he go back to, was he from Australia or something?
Australia, yes.
He might have went back to Australia. That's probably why we ain't seen him.
Let me think.
Anyway, okay, I'm going to start with these. Where are they?
Yeah. let's see. Christmas. You want to do a Christmas episode? I know we have to do it by cell phone, and that's fine.
Yeah, what are we gonna talk about?
I don't know.
We'll
get there. We'll get there. Yeah, we'll get there all mapped out at some point. But yeah, so our next episode will be Christmas morning. We'll put it out.
And for you guys that don't know, please go on ahead and go on to Netflix and watch Jessica Marbles. Jessica Jones.
Yes.
Good series.
We'll talk about that Christmas Day.
Whether you're a comic fan or not, just go ahead and the first couple of episodes will get your attention because you don't really have to be into the whole superhero thing.
You don't even have to have read because I was not a comic fan. I ain't gonna say I wasn't a fan, but I was not one that read all the comics and kept up with the stories. Because like I told you, when you told me that Luke Cage and Jessica had a baby, I found that out already.
And now I can see why.
Well, yeah. But I had read up on it, so I got that information already. Because like I said, you don't have to be a comic fan to enjoy this, because I started watching it, like I told you, watched it that first couple episodes, and I was like, okay, I'm going to watch one more. Then I'm going to watch one more. And before I knew it, I had spent a whole day watching this darn show on Netflix and just binge-watched all the way through.
And I had more discipline than my co-host here. I was able to turn it off. prayerfully, I'll watch another one or two episodes this evening, and I will spread my episodes out throughout the week so that I can have something to look forward to when I get home after work. But yes, if you haven't watched it, go ahead and check out Jessica Jones, because Netflix doing some good stuff. They got Luke Cage coming out.
Yeah.
They haven't watched what's the blind hero guy?
Oh, I know you're talking about.
Watched his, but I plan on checking out. Shout out to Netflix. I plan on checking out the Ridiculous Six. It looked like it's gonna be kind of funny.
Yeah, I think that the Adam Sandler new movie on Netflix, that's gonna be pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's gonna be funny. Yeah, they got some good little shows on here. I never watched Narcotic or Narcos, but they said, I've had people tell me that's good. I just can't get into too many of them. You told me House of Cards, and I started, and I was just too far behind with the House of Cards, so I never really caught up with that one. Even though it started off well, I was just like, I'm too far behind. Flash.
Flash. That's
the one
there
that got.
You go. Flash. Yeah. Well, before we get off of here, I do want to say a very quick thank you to all the family and friends that have already liked our new Facebook page. I created it on Thursday, and by Saturday morning we had over 100 likes.
All right, way to go, people!
I know that most Facebook pages have thousands, but we'll get there. We just having 100 was a big milestone for me.
Yeah, that was. That's our. Did you write the date down?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, I have it all written down. Still waiting on a few of you.
We really appreciate you.
Still waiting on a few of you, and I'm talking specifically to some of you that I know are listening right now that have not liked it, but we'll get to y'all at another time.
Okay, he talking specifically y'all know I only have no Facebook.
Well, we're not talking about Micah. Shout out to Micah Tillman.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I can get Micah, huh?
Yeah, you could. You had to find out the password. But
his password, because I don't know what his password is. I have to talk to him about that.
Yeah. Get with him and let him.
That is hilarious.
Anyway, but yeah, we'll roll it off the track style, so go ahead and steer it back and finish it off. This has been the Mac and Teach Show. I am one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with you.
What time is it?
As always, this is the Mac and T Show. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We go on to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.